Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of 1 Thessalonians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 12, where we see that every Christian wants to know the will of God. And in today's study, Pastor Dave shares how to know God's will and also how to be holy in today's world. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, with a message entitled, "This is the Will of God for You."
During the preaching or during worship service or time of thanksgiving, He's worthy of every ounce of our being blessing Him and just thanking Him for His goodness and His beauty. And so certainly here in that regard, we welcome that. This morning's message entitled, "This," with the emphasis on the "this," because we're going to cover it all through these verses today. "This is the will of God," and then the emphasis for you. For every individual here this morning, if you are a Christian. How many Christians are here today? Okay, wonderful. This is the most asked question. How do I know the will of God for my life? This is the will of God for you, Christian. So if you have a Bible, would you turn it open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand. Our ushers are coming down the rows now, and they will bring you one at your seat. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, our verses of study will be verses 1 through 12. But it's a kickoff from the end of chapter 3. So let's rewind to chapter 3, the last verse, verse 13. And then let's read our text this morning of study in totality. And then I'll section it off for you in three different groups, and we'll go through and see what God has for us. 1 Thessalonians, remember, the chapters and verses were later instituted after the epistles were written. So this is just all one train of thought for Paul, inspired by God's Spirit. He kicks it off here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, and he says this to the Christian. He says, "To the end, that he," speaking of Jesus, "may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." Furthermore, chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, being built upon the end of chapter 3. He says, hey, listen, my heart's desire for you, those in Thessalonica, those at Calvary Chapel of the Westside, first service here, September 6, 2015. Here's the deal. He says, furthermore, is going to be built upon the truth of this, that Jesus is coming again. Everything that he's about to say is predicated upon that truth, that Jesus is coming again. Do you believe, church, that Jesus is coming again? Would you amen me? Would you shoot me down if you believe that Jesus is coming again? If we believe that Jesus is coming again, that he's going to touch down on earth, something precedes that before his feet land on the Mount of Olives for his second coming, and it's the rapture of the church. And if we really believe that in a twinkling of an eye, as we'll study next week, in a moment of time, really way less than that, that we are going to be snatched, that we are going to be caught up in the air to meet our Lord and be with him forevermore, if we really believe that, Paul says, then incorporate these teachings that are laid out for us in the opening verse of chapter 4 in your everyday life. If you really believe that Jesus is coming again, he says, then I got more to say to you. And this is what he has to say, chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, based on Jesus is coming again, we beg you. Paul does this a lot when something is important on his heart. We beg you, we beseech you, brothers, talking to the church, talking to those who profess Christ as Savior. We beg you and we exhort you. The word exhort is beseech. So he's like, I double beg you. I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, I beseech you, man. I'm asking you, I am pleading with you with all that I am, every fiber of my being. I'm asking of you, he says, by the Lord Jesus, middle of verse 1, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more, that you would keep growing and going. For you know what commandments, verse 2, we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God, verse 3, even your sanctification, that you, singular, should abstain from fornication, that every one of you, verse 4, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now in the lust of forbidden things, verse 5, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man would go beyond and defraud his brother, verse 6, in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God, verse 7, has not called us Christians unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore, verse 8, that despises not man, despises not Pastor Dave, despises not the Christian church, but despises God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, verse 9, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love each other. And indeed, verse 10, you do it toward all brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beg you, brothers, that you would increase more and more, and that you would study to be quiet, verse 11. That is my life verse, that you would study to shut up, that you would study to stethizit, that you would study to be quiet, the scripture says, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you. Verse 12, our last verse, that you would walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you might have lack of nothing. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, for it being Communion Sunday, a Sunday where we come to your table and remember you, Lord, where we partake of the elements, Lord, that speak of your body and your blood that was broken for us, that was shed for us, so that our sins could be washed away, so that we could have scripture like this to instruct us in how we can grow deeper in our relationship with you, Holy God. And we ask you now that you would just minister to us your will for our lives, that you would help us to swallow these things that might be difficult for us, that we would accept them, Lord, as your word, and that your word, Lord, would have preeminence in our lives, in our hearts, in our decision-making. And so we give you this time, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray, amen. So this is the will of God for you. That is what we are looking at this morning. And you're going to notice here, if you didn't already, as we go through again these verses, that Paul talks about a walk. He talks about your walk. He talks about my walk. He talks about our walks, but it's an individual thing. Everybody's walk with God is according to where they are with God. A walk is your way of life. A walk is sort of your where you are at in your relationship with the Lord. That is what he is discussing here. That is what he is concerned about. Your relationship with God, how that is going, where that is going, what is going on with it. And his end goal here, his end goal result for you to have in your life is that your walk with the Lord would honor the Lord and please the Lord. And he says that's the will of God, that you would honor the Lord and that you would please the Lord as a son or daughter of God. That's fair because you've been blood bought. He's given his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem your soul from sin, Satan, and hell. So he has a right then to tell you what his will is for you because you are his, if you raised your hand this morning and said that you are. Now, as an earthly human being, right, and we have earthly moms and dads, how do we know our father's will, for instance, our earthly father's will for our lives? Two ways, by listening to him and living with him. Listening to him and living with him. As you listen to your dad when you are being raised by him and you're growing up in the home, you know what he expects of you. You hear his commands. And as you live with him, you know his ways. You know things that you shouldn't do and you know things that you should do. When I was growing up, the way that I treated my mom was different based on if my dad was home or not home. If dad wasn't home, I would say whatever I wanted to say sometimes, and I would get sort of rebellious and disrespectful, especially as a teenager in my earlier years. But when my dad was home, it was yes, ma'am, whatever you say, I'm sorry, mommy, you know, whatever, because I knew you don't mess with my dad's wife, my mom at the time. And so I was raised that way. I knew what it was like to live with him, and so I knew his ways, and I listened to him, so I knew his ways, and I was afraid of him. Daniel wasn't. There were times where, should I share? But he got locked out of the house sometimes because my dad couldn't catch him chasing him. He would call my dad out. I'm just going to throw him under the bus this morning. You know, he was not as much as I was, but I had a fear of my dad, a righteous fear, a right on fear in a reverent manner. Now listen, we know the Lord's will for our lives by listening to his word and by living with him. Living with him, yes, living with him, because Jesus resides in the believer. Jesus has made his home our hearts. That's where he is, the scripture tells us. And by his spirit, he indwells each of us. And so he lives within us, and as we commune with him, and as we listen to his word, we know how our walk ought to be so that our ways are pleasing to him. Pretty simple, right? The hard part is applying what his word says. Because his word is invasive. His word is not politically correct. His word is not worried about stepping on toes. Here's the reason. Because we are his. I'm not worried when I correct my son or my daughters about stepping on their toes. I'm not worried about offending them if it's for their betterment, if it's for their good. I'll do whatever I have to do to raise these kids up, to be God-fearing, God-loving human beings. Amen, mom and dads? I mean, because our desire at the end of the day is that they would love Jesus and walk with Jesus. I'll go as far as I got to go to teach them the truths of the Lord and his principles and his ways so that they could be honorable vessels, as we'll see in a few minutes here, in his sight. God the Father feels the same way of us. He's given us his spirit and he's given us his word. And that couple, that team is dynamic in our lives if we allow it to be. To influence our walks, to influence our ways of life, to influence our relationships with Jesus. There are people all over the map in their Christianity. There are people who are saved, but they live like the world. They're saved, but they live like hell. They're going to get to heaven by the skin of their teeth because of grace through faith, but my goodness, they do not look much like Jesus. There are people who are coming out of that background and the Lord's working and he's weeding things out of their lives. And then there are other people who are super far along and you think they're super saints. But nonetheless, we are all work in progress. But our walk as an individual should always be growing. Our walk should always be going closer and closer us to Jesus. Our walk should always be taking us from glory to glory to glory. So, this text this morning is going to step on your toes. This text this morning has been dancing on my toes all week long. This text this morning is going to make you uncomfortable, make you squirm. I do not pick what we study. I go through the Word of God systematically, line by line, verse by verse. And so if you're visiting this morning, you're new here. I didn't come up with this because I've been following you all around this week and said, this will be perfect for you, sinner. This is just where God has us today. And if it offends you, it's because God loves you and he wants to speak to your heart. So there are going to be three distinct ways, if you're a note taker this morning, that we're going to break up verses 1 through 12 to help us sort of categorize Paul's method here in relaying to us the will of God for our lives. Verses 1 through 8, a way that you can make sure that your walk is pleasing to God. Verses 1 through 8 is walking in holiness. Walking in holiness. I'll describe that to you in just a moment. Then, let me look here, in verses 9 and 10, to check our walk, not only walking in holiness, but to be walking in harmony. Verses 9 and 10, walking in harmony with each other. And then our closing verses 11 and 12, walking in honesty. So holiness, verses 1 through 8, 9 and 10, harmony, and then 11 and 12, honesty. And we'll talk about that as we go. Furthermore, then we beg you, brothers, verse 1, chapter 4, and we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Just keep going and growing. Don't ever get stagnant. Don't ever get stale. Don't ever stop growing. Don't ever come to church and think you've already heard this text before. You've already heard that analogy before. You've already heard that application before. You've already heard that cross-reference before. Don't ever think that you've arrived. You've never arrived. I've never arrived, amen? We're all growing in grace. We're all a work in progress. We will not be complete till we get home. So always be abounding more and more. For you know what commandments we have given you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the first thing he wants to talk to us about this morning in relation to holiness, in relation to being the will of God, is sexual immorality. As the first thing he wants to talk to those in Thessalonica about, and those of us here about this morning, he says, this, he says, is what we want to talk about. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, verse 3, that you should abstain from fornication. Two words there that are important to unfold for you. Sanctification and fornication. Sanctification, note takers, simply means this. Sanctification means to be set apart for God's use, emphasis only. Set apart for God's use, emphasis on only. Set apart for God's use only. We want to talk to you about your sanctification, that you are to be set apart for God's use concerning the members of your body only. God doesn't want to share you with the world. God doesn't want to share you and co-govern you with your desires. You have been sanctified in your salvation, and you are being sanctified in your salvation. God is wanting to grow you and separate you more and more from the things of this life that are only to be for his glory. Sanctification, it's an Old Testament word. It's a word that is used in Leviticus to describe the articles that were used in the tabernacle to serve the Lord. The censers, the shovels, things that look like just common everyday tools. They were sanctified only to be used in the tabernacle. It's like us. We look like everyday human beings. We dress the same. We comb our hair the same. We partake in the trends of the culture. We go to school the same way. We go to work the same way as those who don't know Christ. But even though we look the same, we're not the same. We're not supposed to be the same. We are sanctified. We are set apart by God for his use only. And in that sanctification, listen, I know it sounds deep, but it's not. He says, the first thing I want you to stay away from is fornication, sexual sin. What is fornication? It's sexual relationships and intercourse or sexual immorality, maybe better said, with anyone, and let me be clear, in our culture, or anything besides your spouse. So that includes, but is not limited to, heterosexual relationships, homosexual relationships, extramarital relationships, premarital relationships, bestiality. Let me put it all out there. It is everything. Sexual relationship with yourself by self-gratification. It is anything but sex with your spouse. Not your fiance, not your boyfriend or girlfriend that you intend on marrying. Listen, anyone or anything but your spouse. This is the first thing he wants to talk about to a church that's 2,000 years old to us today. But my goodness, is this relevant for us. He's writing from Corinth. Corinth is a completely corrupt city. Ancient Greece was perverted. Ancient Greece was wicked. Where he was particularly, listen, is in a city where there was about 1,500 to 3,000 prostitutes that went out every single night to seduce men into sex, to worship their god Aphrodite, who was a sex goddess through sexual pleasure, and that was their way of worship, to have sex. That was how they would worship God. It was prominent in their day. In Thessalonica, which is part of Macedonia, which was part of Greece, same culture as Corinth, same things going on. They're surrounded by a culture where sex is in your face, where pornographic images are in your face, where these things are okay, where it's encouraged to live with the person before you marry them, where it's encouraged to test the card before you buy it, if you know what I'm saying. These are the things that are being put in front of them all the time. That's why Paul is hitting this here. It really parallels our modern America. Now, Paul also, he understands here the danger and the implications of what happens to a people when they become perverted, because God's Spirit is inspiring him. But even if you close the Bible, even if you say you are a prude, Paul was a prude, even if you say I don't want to hear this, it's impossible in a land that we live in today, even secular historians would agree with the message that Paul is proclaiming. How many of you are familiar with the historian Gibbons, a secular historian? His last name is Gibbons. Anyone? Edward Gibbons? No historians up in here? Okay. It doesn't matter. He was a very intelligent man. He's a secular historian. He's not, from what I understand, he was not a Christian. He writes five reasons, main reasons, why the Roman Empire fell. You all know that Rome was the superpower of its day, right? You know that Rome was like America, sort of, today. And he writes five reasons from a secular standpoint why the Roman Empire went down. Are you ready? The first reason he lists as just a secular historian as to why that nation crumbled was the rapid increase of divorce. And let me quote what he says. The undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society, close quote. In the Roman Empire's first 400 to 500 years of history, guess how many divorces there were? Zero on record. Zero on record in the first 400 to 500 years of its existence. But then the Roman Empire became the Roman Republic. Then the Roman Republic became the Roman Empire, and there were literally divorces like there are divorces today. There is description by other historians of that time where women and men would put away their spouses yearly to marry somebody else and to be with somebody else. I mean, that's what it turned into. And he said that is a major reason, the first reason as to the decline and the ultimate crumble of this empire, of this nation. They embraced Greece's mentality. They embraced sexual perversion. They opened themselves up to the culture that was all around them. Everybody's living together. Everybody's having sexual sin. Everybody's testing the card before they buy it. Everybody's doing it, even religious people. Why shouldn't we? Sounds just like America today. People I run into all of the time, they're not married, they live together, and they go to church every Sunday. People I run into all of the time, they're so physical with each other at church or in the open, you can only imagine what they're like behind closed doors. Homosexual couples that go to Christian churches, and they're good. They're comfortable. They're not made to feel uncomfortable. Not that they should be purposely made to feel uncomfortable, but nobody should feel okay in their sin or else something's wrong with the church that they go to. I'm serious. And not that the pastor should be up here blessing people, but because the word of God invades our lives. It tells us how we should live. And fornication, sexual relation with anyone or anything besides your spouse, one man, one woman, one genetic man, one genetic woman, is sin before God. And the scriptures are going to say in a minute to back me here, because Paul knew I was going to preach this one day by God's Spirit, and people were going to get mad. In a minute here, it's going to say this: the rules weren't made by Dave Tomasa, they were made by Jesus Christ. And when you preach the word of Jesus Christ, and you're the word of Jesus Christ, you know the will of Jesus Christ. And your walk is aligned with the will of Jesus Christ. It isn't about being politically correct. It's about being biblically correct. It's about being biblically pleasing in the sight of God. So we see here the parallel of the nation. We're not even 300 years old. You know that, right? Our nation, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. We are 239 years old.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.